Welcome to the Awake Church Podcast. At Awake, our mission is simple. Know God, take action. We pray this podcast will help you on that journey.
I've been looking forward to sharing what I'm about to share with you for a few months, actually. This has just been on my heart, and a wonderful time of year, not only with the great weather, but what God has done and what he's doing, what we're celebrating today. We're going to read some scriptures, but right before Jesus ascended, which is an amazing thing. Imagine being there and watching him lift off the ground and just kept rising and rising and disappearing into the clouds. Right before he did that, he shared several things, some with his disciples, which we have in John chapter 14 and John chapter 16 in particular, related to the Holy Spirit. And then right before he left, he said to everyone watching him lift off the ground. Acts chapter 1, verse 4 says, "Don't leave Jerusalem, but wait here until you receive the gift I told you about," which was John 14, 15, 16. He talked about the Holy Spirit. "The gift the Father has promised. For John baptized you in water, but in a few days from now, you will be baptized in the Holy Spirit." So right as Jesus is about to lift off, he says, wait. And he prepared them ahead of time. Something's going to happen that you have no idea about, but it's going to be amazing. He actually said, "It's better for you that I go away, that I lift off, because I will do something that's beyond your imagination. When I go, it'll be the last thing that I do, part of my mission." I'm paraphrasing here. "I'm going to go to heaven, and then I'm going to send him. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. If you'll wait, he's coming as a gift for you." Now, Jesus didn't say to his disciples or everyone watching or standing around, "Okay, here's what I want you to do. You got to fast for the next 10 days. You got to climb some mountain. You're going to have to do something difficult and hard. You're going to have to cross a sea." He didn't say any of those type of things. He said, here's how you're going to receive the greatest gift you've ever received. Just go and wait. And then receive him. Receive him when he comes. You'll know it. Receive him. Other than Jesus coming, when he was born, grew up, died, paid for all of our sin, the veil was ripped in two, then he rose to life again and gave us an amazing salvation, forgiveness of sins, enabled us to be brand new creatures. All of those things that Jesus did, other than that entire package, which is huge and we'll be unpacking forever, the next greatest gift of all is what happens right here. It's God himself. Jesus is God, but God, his Spirit, God, the Holy Spirit, coming to be with us forever. Forever. Jesus here for 33 and a half years or so. The Spirit of Jesus, or the Holy Spirit, many, many names for the Holy Spirit, with us forever, helping us, doing things that we cannot do. You can call him the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Truth, just Holy Spirit without the. Spirit of Jesus, Spirit of God, Spirit of the Lord, Spirit of Christ, it's the same person. And he's a person. He's a person. He's not just a wind, right? He's not an aura. He's not a feeling. He is God by his Spirit here. This thing that Jesus had planned on doing all along, John the Baptist prophesied, here's what Jesus is going to do when he comes. He's going to baptize in the Holy Spirit and fire. And then Jesus died, and it hadn't happened yet. Then Jesus rose again. It hadn't happened yet. Then he ascended. It hadn't happened yet. And then it did. It was part of Jesus' mission to send the Spirit of God, been waiting in heaven for thousands of years to come to the earth. Not until Jesus sent him, after Jesus' mission was completed, then the Spirit of God could be sent and come and live and be among us. Today is a special day. You know what we call today? Pentecost Sunday, right? This is Pentecost. That's today. This annual celebration of the coming of the Spirit of God to the earth. And it's, you know, it's one of those things that's a celebration of not just something that happened, but something that is happening. It's a reminder that he's here. That he didn't just come with a touch and go away. He came to reside inside of us forever. Acts chapter 2. Verse 1 says, when the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. We call it the upper room. And suddenly there came from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind. And it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues as of fire distributing themselves. And they rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. These are believers in Jesus already. They have a separate experience with the Holy Spirit. And now they're filled with the Holy Spirit. With tongues of fire resting on them. And verse 4, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit was giving them utterance. Now Jesus said a lot of things about this Spirit of God that he was going to send. Some of them are found in John 14. Let me read just a couple of verses. John 14, verse 25. He said, these things I've spoken to you while abiding with you. But the Helper, that's a big, wonderful, spectacular name of this Spirit. The Helper. It's part of his name, the Helper. The Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name. He will teach you all the things you're going to need to know by the Spirit. This Spirit will teach you and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. The older that I get, the more important that last part is. Bring to your remembrance. Boy, I tend to forget things a lot. But the Holy Spirit helps me. Helps bring to my remembrance. Helps bring to your remembrance the things you need to remember. The things you need to know. He does so many different things. And the lives of those 120 in that room that day changed dramatically. They all believed. You got 3.5 years that these disciples have been following Jesus around, left family, left homes, left jobs to follow Jesus around. Their lives changed then. And then here's another dramatic change. You've got people like Peter, who following Jesus is making all these mistakes, and then he stands back up again, and he walks on water, then he sinks. Then he denies Jesus, then he repents. All these things with just Peter as an example. But after the Spirit of God came, rested upon him, filled him, you see Peter as a different character for the rest of the books. Do you notice that? All of a sudden, he has a boldness that he didn't used to have. I think he was fairly bold to begin with. He has an extra amount of boldness. And it happens almost immediately. Right after this happened, people are hearing all these noises, and Peter speaks. 3,000 people meet Jesus that day. That had never happened with Peter before. Through Peter, he begins to speak with his confidence. Later on, we find in the book of Acts, Peter's walking around and people are getting healed so much around him that they're wanting to put people, like there's my shadow right there on the stage, you probably can't see it. They're wanting to put people in the shadow of Peter as he's walking by, believing they will get healed. Something dramatic happens inside of Peter at the baptism and the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Something happened with Jesus' brothers, hardly ever talked about. I know if you're a Catholic faith, you don't believe that Jesus had any siblings, but the Bible clearly says that he does. Sisters and brothers. In fact, he gives the name, the Bible gives the names in Matthew of the four brothers of Jesus, right? So he had four brothers, but it also says about them, they didn't believe in him. The brothers of Jesus didn't believe that he was the Messiah. They weren't at the crucifixion. They didn't follow him around. They weren't the disciples. But something happens between Jesus dying and rising from the dead and Pentecost, those 50 days, where it says in Acts chapter 1 that his mom, Jesus' mom was there, Mary, and the brothers. The brothers were part of the upper room. Part of the 120, four of those guys are Jesus' brothers. Something happened with them, and something happened in them that day, because the next thing you know, we know nothing about these guys. Except they didn't believe, now they believe. They were in the room, they got baptized in the Spirit. Next thing you know, James and Jude, familiar names. James, the book of James, written by Jesus' brother. Jude, the book of Jude, written by Jesus' brother. And this same James ends up basically being the leader of the New Testament church in Jerusalem. Same guy, brother of Jesus. Didn't believe, suddenly believes. I have a suspicion. This is me. This is extra biblical. But we do know this. Says that Jesus, after he rose from the dead, he appeared to over 500 people over 40 days, right? We have some of those experiences where he appeared in the room where the disciples were shut in and they were afraid and Jesus walks through the wall. Remember that? Well, he appeared to over 500 people. My guess is he went home during those 40 days and visited some brothers. That's my guess. I don't have scripture to back that up, but it makes sense to me because next thing you know, they're in the upper room and their lives were dramatically changed. People who receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, their lives change. There's something different that happens. I have that testimony myself. I'll mention in just a little bit. Acts chapter 19, verse 1. Let's read a few verses here. It happened that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, this is 25 years later, after 25 years after Pentecost, Apollos was at Corinth. Paul passed through the upper country and came to Ephesus and found some disciples. And they said to him, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" And they said to him, "No, we have not even heard whether there is a Holy Spirit." And he says to them, "Into what then were you baptized?" And they said, "Into John's baptism." That's with water. Paul said, "John baptized with a baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in him who was coming after him," that is in Jesus. When they heard this, they were then baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, and Paul then laid his hands on them, verse 6, and the Holy Spirit came upon them. This wasn't Pentecost Day, this is 25 years later. Paul lays his hands on them, and they began speaking with tongues and prophesying. There were in all about 12 men. The Spirit of God that came on Pentecost didn't stop right there. He kept coming upon people and in people all the time and still today. This may sound strange to you, but I just read the study. This was done probably less than 10 years ago. Well, quote, of self-identified Christians in America, 58% contend that the Holy Spirit is not real. He's not a real living being, but is merely a symbol of God's power, presence, and purity. Oh, so sweet. Right? Incredibly sad. 58%, that's done by the Gospel Coalition. So 50% of believers believe the Holy Spirit is just a symbol, not a real person. So imagine of that 58, or of the 42% left, how many of those then believe not only that he's a person, but that he has power. He has gifts. He has fruit. He still works today. He lives on the inside of us. That percentage is going to get smaller and smaller and smaller. I mean, it's a sad, one of the saddest stats that I know there is the amount of people who actually believe that the Holy Spirit is real and he lives inside of me and he wants to do the things that he does. The works of Jesus through my life. Boy, I hate the devil. I hate everything he does. I hate his lies. I hate his deceptions. And man, has he been working overtime on this specific thing. To keep people from believing the truth. To keep people from believing the truth so that they would have power over sin, to be a witness, to receive help, and to just think of him as some symbol somewhere. Boy, makes me angry. You know, it doesn't make us special to be in that small percentage. It makes me sad. Because I want everybody to have what God wants them to have. That's himself. He wants everybody to have himself. This is what Jesus said. It's better that I go away because he will then come. Live on the inside of you. We need him. The Father waited thousands of years to send the Holy Spirit. Jesus waited to send the Holy Spirit. And when he got to heaven, he tagged him and said, "You're it, go get him." They traded places so that we could be fully alive. Peter, when he's speaking, right after the Spirit of God comes into the room in Acts 2, chapter 2, verse 37 says, and he shared several things. I won't read all of that. But then he says, "Now when they heard the things that he shared, they were pierced to the heart." They were convicted. That's another word of what conviction is. When you're pierced to the heart, that's the way the Bible describes it. "And said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, 'Brethren, what shall we do then? Since we've just crucified Jesus that you just told us about.' Peter said to them, 'Repent, and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins, and then you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you,'" everyone there today, there that moment, "'for your children,'" those beyond you, "'and for all who are far off.'" You can live anywhere on the planet. "'As many as the Lord our God will call to himself.'" The gift of the Holy Spirit was not for a handful of first century Christians. The gift of the Holy Spirit is for every single follower of Jesus that will ever live from that moment till the time Jesus returns. He's for all of us. So let's throw away the lie of the enemy. 1 Corinthians 6:19, "Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit?" Romans 8:11, "But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you." The enemy has worked overtime to diminish the Holy Spirit, to strip him down, make him powerless, impersonal, unreal, only a symbolic version of God, rather than the creator. Remember, one of the very first lines we read in the book of Genesis is we find the Holy Spirit hovering over the planet, making sense of chaos, bringing land out of water, all of those things. He was there, and he's now here again, but not just hovering. He's moved to the inside of us. Incredible. The enemy wants people to think of him only as a symbol or to be afraid of him. There are many, many people. You mentioned the Holy Spirit and the fear. Like, "I want nothing to do with that." Wow, the enemy's done a great job then. Think of this. God's waiting for thousands of years to give us a gift. And the enemy wants to make us afraid of the gift. Does that make any sense at all? No. Unless the enemy has warped the minds of people. We should want to receive all that God has. If he has something for me, then we should want it. We should want him. We should want whatever he has to give. We know it is good, capital G, really good. Jesus said, even better than himself being there. We know it's really good. Or the enemy wants to say that the gifts of the Spirit, the moving, the power of the Spirit, speaking in tongues, healing, are actually not from God, but that's what the devil does. My guess is there are many of you in here grew up in a church, a denomination, where you were taught that what we would call the gifts of the Spirit, what the Bible would call the gifts of the Spirit, were things that the devil does. How many were taught some of that when you were growing up? Several. That those were things of the devil. Not just avoid them, but these are actually the devil. What? Healing, these amazing languages that the enemy doesn't even understand what we're saying, that God gave us, that is given to us, part of the gift of his Spirit, the enemy tries to twist. Or he's invented a non-scriptural deception that is taught in most seminaries around the world. And that's that the Holy Spirit just worked a few decades, then he retired. And once the first century apostles perished, so did the gifts of the Spirit. That is taught in most seminaries across our land and the world. And it's a complete lie. There's not one scripture to back that up. Not one. Not one. It's the exact opposite. Paul is telling the churches years and years, decades later, this is how you need to function in these gifts of the wonderful Holy Spirit. And he says, I'm speaking in tongues more than y'all. Catch up. Come on, let's all pray in the Spirit. Let's pray in the Spirit. But if the enemy can make something fearful, then he'll keep us from it. Or if he can cause a lie to appear, then we want to stay away from that thing. We want to throw away every lie and deception of the enemy and fully embrace all that God has. Fully embrace. I'm telling you what, not just embrace. I need him. You need him. There is no way that you and I are going to make it in a way that is thriving and successful and powerful and fulfill our purpose without the Holy Spirit. He is the one that does what we cannot do. And I need him. I mean, I ask for the Holy Spirit's help in so many things. Not only when I come up here on Sundays, I ask for his help when I'm underneath the sink trying to get that screw, that nut undone. I ask for his help all the time. I'm constantly asking for his help. You're called the helper. Thank you that you're here. I need you. I need wisdom. I need understanding for this decision I need to make. You're the helper. Would you put inside my mind and heart the way I should go and the decision I should make? Help me. Help me. He is the helper, and he's here to help. Boy, to live a life without the Holy Spirit is to live a life only with what you have. And it's not enough. It's not enough. Plus, the Spirit of God is the one who is building the body of Christ, purifying her, sanctifying her, helping her get ready for Jesus' return. In fact, Matthew 25, Jesus is talking about the 10 virgins, 5 who are ready and 5 who are not. And the ones who are have their lamps full, which is speaking of being filled with the Spirit. Those that are ready are filled with the Spirit. Stay full of the Spirit, which is something we'll probably keep talking about over these next couple of weeks. But we want to stay full of the Spirit, not just have an experience with him. Ephesians 5 says this. I'll touch on this now. Ephesians 5 says, don't be drunk with wine. Don't get drunk with wine. That's not a good thing to do. But instead of that, be filled with the Spirit. How often could you get drunk with wine if you wanted to? Every day. Don't do it. But you could, right? Your body is able to do that. Paul says, don't do that, but instead, get filled with the Spirit. Refilled with the Spirit. How often could you get filled with the Spirit? Every day. Don't do it with wine. Do it with the Spirit of God. Have him fill you. Open yourself up and get refilled. I need a refilling over and over and over. It's one of the things I pray the most is this. Fill me, Holy Spirit, all over again, afresh and a full. I need you today. I need your words. I need your ways. I need your help. Fill me to overflowing. Jesus said this. What was his promise in John chapter 7? If we will come to him, that something will come out of our innermost being, rivers of living water. Then the Bible says it was speaking of the Holy Spirit. Rivers of living water are supposed to come out of us. So we should not live a life, we don't have to live a life where we're running on empty all the time. Running on empty in the Spirit means I've not accessed the gift. I'm not allowing myself to get refilled over and over and over and over with the gift of God, which is the Spirit of God. I need him. We need him. We will never stop talking about the Father and the Son, Jesus. What they have done, who they are. They are one, though, and this Holy Spirit is part of that one. We'll talk about him as well. In the history of humanity, God planned three comings of himself to the earth after the initial being there and forming Adam and then Eve. There are three comings of God. The first one is Jesus coming, right? The second one is the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit coming. And the third one is Jesus coming again. And not only are those the three comings of God, those are the three feasts that God mandated throughout time, right? The first one was Passover, which Passover was fulfilled. That was the shadow, that was the natural shadow of the real that was coming, which was Jesus. He was killed, crucified on Passover, right? Then we have what's called the Feast of Weeks, Shavuot, which is what we call Pentecost. It was celebrated, it was a mandatory holiday, which represented then that God came down with fire on top of a mountain and gave the law. The fulfillment of that is Pentecost. God came down with fire, not on a mountain, on people, and gave his Spirit. And Joel said, and well as others, Ezekiel, that when the Spirit comes, he'll write my laws on their hearts, not on tablets of stone. So the Spirit came to write on our hearts the right and wrong and bring us conviction. And then the third feast is Tabernacles, which speaks of God coming to dwell with us. Well, that one hasn't been fulfilled yet. Jesus hasn't. We know the season he's coming. It's during Tabernacle season. We don't know the year, the time, the date, the day, but we know the season. And that one has yet to be fulfilled. God does these things in such an amazing way. And when I find people who, and you find them as well, Christians, wonderful Christian people, we're all in the same family, we're all on the same team, regardless of the denomination, we got different beliefs, but when I find them and they haven't had an experience where they've been baptized by the Holy Spirit, I don't feel better than them. That is not one part of my mindset. Every part of me goes, oh, I want them to have what I have. I want them to have what God wants them to have. I want them to be baptized in him and to be filled with him and to have the help that they need. One of the things that he gives that we just mentioned is tongues. I know it could sound so weird, but so does salvation. The things of God seem weird to the natural man. They're supposed to, because it's different than just natural everything else. The kingdom of heaven is completely opposite of the kingdom of the world. Tongues are this amazing gift where you speak in a language you didn't learn, and it is a language that only God understands and you don't even get it. But it is such an amazing, beautiful gift from the Holy Spirit. And I believe everyone who has been baptized in the Holy Spirit can speak in tongues if they want to, but they don't have to. God doesn't force anything on us. It's pretty amazing he's that way. He's not the coercing type. He's the inviting type. Everything that God does is by invitation. And there are people who are baptized in the Holy Spirit and may not speak in tongues because maybe they haven't stepped out in that yet. Because I've also learned that everything that we get in God, we receive by faith. Everything you receive from God, you receive by faith. How did you get saved? How do you know you got saved? Prove it. No, you did it by faith. that gift was presented to you? You said yes. You received him. How do you know God lives inside of you? Prove it. Well, he does. I can't prove it. It's by faith. I can feel, I can sense, I know he lives on the inside of me. Tongues are so similar. Prophesying, similar. Healing, similar. Faith. Almost every, well, I will say this, every major event in my life, particularly from the age of 19 or so when I got baptized in the Holy Spirit on, there have been prophetic things related to it. The reason I'm standing here on the stage in Winston-Salem is because of a prophetic word and dreams. Beyond the brain. It didn't happen up here. It happened by the Spirit of God. The reason I'm married to Debbie Peterson is through a prophecy. I know that sounds strange. That's just how it happened. That got me moving in the right direction. First, it was when I saw her beautiful dark hair. That got me moving first, I will say that. And I was attracted to her, but then later on it was God, because it had died, that relationship had died. And then God came. And it was a prophetic thing. The reason we're in this land that we're on, in the building we're in, is through the Holy Spirit and words that he gave. God wants to lead and guide. It says in Romans chapter 8 that those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God, right? So being led of him is normal Christianity for those filled with him. That we're led by him. We're not just led by our brain. We're just not led by feelings. We're led by the Spirit of God. He's the helper, and he knows, he's the guide. He also is the Spirit of truth. So he has all truth. And he knows the way. Oh man, we need Holy Spirit. We need Holy Spirit. It also means we'll live an unpredictable life in some ways. That's one of the best things. I know some of the pastors in the area here think I am some crazy wild man. It's so funny. Most of you don't think of me that way. Many other people do. Because of the Holy Spirit. I mean, when you talk about, I had this dream, I was reading the word, and this, oh my goodness, I saw this, and the Lord began to speak to me. That's weird talk to Christians. It's weird talk, especially to unbelievers. And I understand that. It would be weird for me too if I hadn't seen what God has wanted and what he has for me and what he has for us. It's okay, but there is supposed to be a life. I mean, think of Jesus as just a little snapshot that we have of Jesus. He's heading somewhere to go heal somebody, and there's a distraction. Someone else needs something, so he turns that way. That turns into a whole adventure of someone else getting healed. Then he's back on track over here. You have no idea. The Spirit of God is a little bit like the wind, the Bible says. You don't know where it's coming from. You don't know where it's going, but there's some movement involved. And so are those who are led by the Spirit. You might have a plan for your day, and you get moving, but you don't know exactly what will happen during that day. You don't know what kind of interruptions. And oftentimes, interruptions that we rebuke can be God sent as an opportunity for ministry. Sometimes that happens. I've done that many times. I've misinterpreted what God has sent me and thought it was the enemy, keeping me from what I wanted to do. Jesus, fortunately, didn't have that mindset. He knew, this is something my father's wanting me to do. It's different than what I planned. But that is the Spirit-filled life. It's supposed to be that way. And there are many people in the faith, heroes of the faith, fathers and mothers of the faith. Charles Wesley was one of those, one of the co-founder of the Methodists, believed in the Holy Spirit indwelling and being baptized in the Holy Spirit. Jonathan Goforth, one of the amazing missionaries to China. Samuel Morris, I've talked about him many times. Incredible African young man. His story is one of my favorites. He was called Kabu, was his original name. Amazing person who changed Taylor University in Indiana. The Azusa Street Revival, led by black men, that started a movement of God in the early 1900s on the West Coast. Here's a quote from Billy Graham, famous Baptist, right? Amazing person. Quote, "I am convinced that to be filled with the Spirit is not an option, but a necessity. It is indispensable for the abundant life and for fruitful service. The Spirit-filled life is not abnormal, it is the normal Christian life." Again, this is Billy Graham. "Anything less is subnormal. Not being filled with the Spirit is subnormal as a believer. It is less than what God wants and provides for his children. Therefore, to be filled with the Spirit should never be thought of as an unusual or unique experience for or known by only a select few. It is intended for all, needed by all, available to all. That is why the Scripture commands all of us, be filled with the Spirit." Thank you, Billy. That is powerful. Incredibly powerful. When I was growing up, I grew up in a Christian home. I went to church, non-denominational church. I saw a lot of things. I remember being, as a 12-year-old, I was one of the ushers in our church. And I remember a guest evangelist that came to our service. He was up front, and he called me out. I'd never seen anything like that. He called me up front. I was standing there, 12-year-old Matt. I was a late bloomer, too, so I was 4 foot something. And he starts to prophesy over me my future, about being a leader in the body of Christ and things like that. I didn't know what in the world was going on. Halfway through his prophecy, the lights went out for me. And next thing I know, I was on my back and I was staring up at the ceiling. I don't remember a thing. I got back to my seat. My brother, who watched this happen, says, "Are you okay?" I said, "Yeah, why?" He said, "Your head was bouncing on the floor." Somehow, during this prophecy and this prayer from this man, the lights went out, I hit the ground, and my head bounced on the floor. I never knew it. I wasn't bruised. I never felt a thing. It was like I just fell into clouds, pillows. Never felt a thing. That was one of my first experiences. But then I didn't have any special language. I didn't have my tongues yet. I so desired to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. I just wanted it. I saw other people have this, and I wanted it so bad. I would beg God and ask God and beg God. And I was, from the age of probably 18 or so, I've just had a heart for God as well as the things of God I wanted to learn. For my birthday, I was asking my parents for Bible dictionaries and Bible concordances. That's what I got for birthday presents. I'm a weird teenager. I was a weird teenager. Because I was studying and wanting to know more about God. But I wanted to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, and it wasn't happening. I didn't get it. And one day, it was just on the inside of me. Really, the Spirit just said this. And it wasn't audible, nothing like that. But he said, "Matt, everything that I give is by faith. Will you believe that I want to give you what you want even more than how much you want it? I want to give to you," which is what Jesus said also, that if your father knows how to give good gifts to your kids, how much more does the Father want to give the Holy Spirit to everyone who asks? The heart of God is to give his Spirit to everyone who asks. So if I ask, then I'm a believer and I know that he wants to give the Holy Spirit to me, then my next job is to simply, by faith, receive. By faith, receive, not work something up, not try harder, not be better, but to receive by faith. And when he began to talk to me about receiving this by faith, I said, "Okay, God, okay, we'll do it." I didn't go to a meeting. I didn't have anybody pray over me. There was no hands on my head that moment, like we have in Acts chapter 19. And I just said, "Okay, fill me, Holy Spirit. I want you. And I'm going to believe that you're doing it right now. I believe that you're doing it right now." I didn't feel a thing. Didn't feel a thing. Several days later or weeks later, I don't even remember. There's this little words that would come to my tongue that didn't make sense. Kote me, bebe, kia, things like that. So I would just say them. And then it'd take kia ma kayate, beke mi yo tolo sono, atianebe, kepe. It just, that started happening. And it wasn't God taking my tongue and going, wiggling it. It's not that. says the Spirit of God is subject to the person of God. So we get to allow these things happen. It's like Paul said, I'm praying in the Spirit more than you all. I'm choosing to pray in the Spirit. And then he can turn that off. And it's not weird, but it is, as Jude, Jesus' brother, wrote and said, I think it's verse 25, to pray in the Spirit, building yourself up on your most holy faith. Praying in the Spirit, praying in that language he gives to you, and it changes too, by the way. Your spirit gets built up. So it's another good reason to pray in the Spirit is you get built up as you do. I do it every day. I'm unashamed. I pray in the Spirit every day. I sing in the Spirit. There is something so wonderful, this gift that God has wanted to give all of us. Your entire life is available for every believer, every single one. And my life changed. When I believed by faith, not only did a gift begin to grow in me of having another language, but my heart began to change for people. I, up to that point, had just, it was just all about Matt. My life, just wanting, you know, attention on me in one sense, in some senses, no, not publicly, but attention in the sense of, you know, what's going on in my life. And whenever I'd save money, I worked hard. My first job, I was 9 years old, always, you know, worked and saved money for things I wanted to buy. My first loan was $120 for a 10-speed bicycle when I was 9. I worked that off. And then I would get another job and work it out. Then I wanted a fishing pole and a rifle. That was my next two things. So I'm working, saving money to buy stuff for myself. I get baptized in the Holy Spirit, and next thing you know, I'm wanting to give money away to people. I'm wanting to buy something for someone else. Something started happening on the inside of me that I can't explain. But selfishness got less and less, and love for people started to get more and more. And then I started having dreams. My dream life takes off. The Holy Spirit, he gives dreams. He gives dreams. Prophetic words started to come to me. I don't know what they were at the time. But I started to know things that I shouldn't know naturally. That's the Holy Spirit. He's doing this for you. He's doing this for all of us. I'm going to finish here. We'll talk more about this next week, Lord willing. But would you stand with me? And, you know, we've got some prayer teams. They're going to be right over here. And just like I got really baptized in the Holy Spirit without anybody around, many other stories, every story is different, just like every story of salvation. Some people, it's when someone lays their hands on them. And there's this receiving of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And we have teams over here that will do that. They will lay their hands on you if you would like that to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, if you've never received it. Some of you in here, you were baptized in the Holy Spirit a long time ago, and you need a refilling. We can all use a refilling. But the Holy Spirit wants to come in any number of ways for all of us to fill us, to experience him, to give us another language, to give us dreams, to help us prophesy, to help us heal other people. He wants to move through us. This Spirit of God coming, one of the biggest parts of it is the Father saying, I want to partner with you. You're my children, and I want to move into you and then through you to bring my kingdom on this planet. I want to live in you and then move through you to say words that bring others to salvation. I want to live in you and move through you to heal somebody. And you'll get these, you get baptized in the Holy Spirit, and all of a sudden you might see someone, and suddenly you get a headache when they walk by. And you're thinking, what's wrong with me? Oh, shoot, that doesn't make sense. No, that's the Holy Spirit saying, that person's head is hurting. Pray for them. The Holy Spirit will speak to you through touching parts of your body to highlight that area so that you can go pray for a person. The wonderful, beautiful, powerful Spirit of God. Jesus said, wait for him. He's the gift of heaven that you can receive. So how about today? Again, this is an invitation. Never anything by pressure, and never to make fun of anyone or to embarrass anybody. The Holy Spirit is not about embarrassing people. Did you know that as well? And he's not to be afraid of. The exact opposite. He's the, another one of his names, the Comforter. He's the Comforter. He comforts. That's the opposite of fear. He brings comfort. So if you would like to receive prayer with someone laying their hands on you, I'm going to ask you to head that direction toward the teams. For all of the rest of us, maybe just open up your hands to the Holy Spirit. If you're online, you're watching, you're in your room, you're in your living room, just open up your hands and your hearts. And let's just receive all of the gift that the Father wants to give us in his Spirit today. Does that sound okay? How can we go wrong? So Lord, here we are, hundreds of your kids here today in this fellowship on this Sunday, Pentecost Sunday, remembering what you said and what you've done and who you sent. And we, first off, just ask you to forgive us in any way that we've believed a lie about the person of the Holy Spirit. In any way we have offended you, God, any way we've spoken anything ill of or contrary to the Spirit of God, just ask you to forgive us, cleanse us by the blood of Jesus. And we thank you for your forgiveness that we receive. And we, right now, invite you, Holy Spirit, to fill our being, to fill our spirit, to make your home in us and to have your way in us. We receive you by faith, believing you want us to have him as much or more than we want him even. And you're a good Father. We receive the Spirit of God even right now in Jesus' name. Just even take a deep breath. A lot of times the Spirit of God is referred to as breath in the scriptures. We just breathe you in, Holy Spirit. We breathe you in a fresh infilling. For those who have never been baptized by you, would you baptize them even right now if it's their desire? Baptize them across this room and over the live stream. Baptize. In Jesus' name, even right now, be baptized in the Holy Spirit, the great gift of God, specially given to you today. And for those needing a refilling, an infilling, a topping off, an overflowing, rivers of living water, we receive a new filling by you, Holy Spirit, today. Come and fill us, overflow us, move through us, change our mindsets, heal our bodies, give us boldness. Lord, we ask for boldness. We ask that every fear would be replaced with boldness and courage. And by your Spirit, it's how we know that we are adopted sons and daughters of God. So we ask for our sonship. We ask for our daughtership today, even right now too. Lord, we ask for joy where there's been heaviness, where there's been depression, anxiety, a dark cloud, oppression. In Jesus' name, we kick that out. And Holy Spirit, we ask that you would replace that even right now with a joy, with a lightness, with a sound mind, with hope. Fill us with the hope. You're the God of all hope, says in Romans. We receive the God of hope. Hope for our lives, hope for our tomorrow, hope for our situation. And we also receive all the gifts that you have, Lord, that you want to use us in. We give you permission, Holy Spirit, to not only fill us and to live inside of us, but to convict us and to use your giftings through us. Whatever gifting you would like to use through us, healing, tongues, prophecy, words of knowledge, words of wisdom, all of these gifts that you have, the nine gifts of the Spirit, and we ask for the nine fruits of the Spirit as well. through our lives. We need both. And we thank you for the unique, wonderful personal touch with every single person in here today. We believe and we receive you. Thank you, Jesus, for sending the Spirit. And thank you, Holy Spirit, for coming. And may this relationship with you grow and grow and grow, where we see you as God living in me, asking for your help, leaning onto you and into you every day throughout the day. In Jesus' wonderful, powerful name, amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening to today's message. For updates on future episodes, make sure to subscribe to our podcast and leave us a review to let us know how we're doing. For more information about Awake Church, visit awakechurch.com.